Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth. The subject of this recording is the Constitution of the United States, a priceless document that you have neglected and forgotten, while traitors in control of our government have dragged it in the gutter of infamy to change the constitutional republic it represents. Our Declaration of Independence from Great Britain proclaims that all men are created equal and endowed with certain unalienable rights by their Creator, by Almighty God. That does not mean these rights come from any government. Look it up in your dictionary. An inalienable right is not transferable and cannot be taken away. Our Declaration defines these rights, and our Constitution spells them out further and guarantees them. The sacred privileges in the original document of the Constitution are the greatest guarantee of human liberty the world has ever known. Yet look at our condition today. The goal of the glorious patriots who signed our Declaration and our Constitution was to form a more perfect union. They did so. Today, it is the most imperfect union in world history, up to its neck in debt that our people can never repay, because venal politicians have subverted and torn that Constitution to shreds. Our nation is dying, strangled by the hands of foreigner Wall Street bankers, of power-mad industrial monopolies, congressional traitors, intellectual idiots who call themselves college professors, crackpot specialists whose chief specialty is thievery, and do-gooders who would have the blacks out of the jungle 150 years rule the white man with his 4,000 years of culture. And all of these people are completely bought by and slaves of the most mongrel cult on earth, the Antichrist Jew. Along with this recording, we send you an authentic translation from the Latin of an original copy of Magna Carta, or Great Charter of Liberties, which the great barons of England, Ireland, and Scotland forced the tyrant King John to sign at Runnymede on June the 15th, 1215 A.D. That charter was taken from our Holy Scriptures. It is the basis of law in our U.S. Constitution. Look it over. Look over the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. Not one single Jew signed any one of the three. Not one single Jew played any part in the writing or development or enforcement of any one of the three. In fact, two great clauses in Magna Carta caused the Jews to be killed or thrown out of England for 377 years. And yet today our entire government, once so true and so great, has degenerated to the point of pure world government under a Judaized money system which they own completely. The U.S. government and the American people do not own one share of stock in the Federal Reserve money system. It is a Judaized system of thievery and usury, exactly the same as you'll find in Magna Carta 751 years ago. Neither the Congress, nor the President, nor the Supreme Court has any authority to change one word of the Constitution. But they've done it a dozen times, and you've let them get away with it. The first great traitor of the 20th century was that disguised American Jew, Woodrow Wilson, whose real name was Wolfson. This arch scoundrel, a tinhorn college professor from Princeton, if you please, in collusion with his Wall Street bankers and those of Germany and England, the Rothschilds and Kuhn, Loeb and Company, waited until the eve before Christmas Eve in 1913 to ram the Federal Reserve Money Act through Congress, when nearly all of the Christian senators had gone home for the holidays. They were led by the Jew Nelson Aldrich, a branch of the Rockefeller family, and Senator Carter Glass of Virginia. Is it not strange that Wilson signed this bill on Christmas Eve, the day before the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? It was Jewish contempt for Christianity and Christ. The Federal Reserve Act is unconstitutional, completely illegal. Let us read you Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, Section 8, Paragraph 5, under the powers of Congress. The Congress shall have the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. Does that give Congress the authority to transfer that power to Wall Street foreign bankers? It does not. Why the devil don't we give it to the NAACP? The American people alone have the power to amend that article or any other article in the Constitution. The American people must kill this Federal Reserve money system if we are to save every American family from complete bankruptcy. Since Congress has been declared a continuing body, every member of Congress today is as guilty of treason as those 1913 crooks who gave the printing and value of our money into private banker hands. And so is Lyndon Johnson, the successor to Woodrow Wilson, and every president between the two. Look at this Vietnam War. The treason of Dwight Eisenhower, who started it. The treason of Harry Truman in the Korean War. The Constitution says that Congress and Congress alone has the power to declare war. That does not mean the president. Therefore, Dwight Eisenhower in Vietnam, Harry Truman in Korea, John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson in Vietnam stand as traitors to the Constitution they swore to preserve, protect, and defend. And they should publicly be branded so. If not, then as one writer suggested, let us for God's sake go to England, dig open the grave of Benedict Arnold, and make a public apology. We, the people of this constitutional republic, who are supreme over our government, have even allowed these atheistic Jews to take Christ away from us, to deny his admission with our children to the public schools. Are not you, the Christian parents, as guilty as the Christ-hating Jew who took him away from them? You are, and may God help you. You have allowed the Supreme Court to assume legislative powers when the Supreme Court has no authority to make any law. But having been bribed by Federal Reserve bankers and the heads of huge monopoly industries, they do as they please and they laugh in your face. These same Wall Street bankers, heads of college universities, heads of power companies, heads of the press, and all who were indebted to these bankers for tens of millions, have formed a gang of legalized thieves called the Council on Foreign Relations. It was this den of thieves which forced this country to sign the treaty of the United Nations Charter and ram it through Congress, a paid-off Congress, after Congress had kicked out the old League of Nations. Does any part of the Constitution give the government authority to pass laws which supersede and replace the Constitution itself? It does not. Does the Constitution of the American people give a gang of foreign agents authority to pass laws that are the supreme law of this land just because they give these laws the phony name of a treaty? It does not. The American people are thoroughly justified tomorrow morning in blasting the buildings and the personnel of this United Nations out of existence in the United States. If the government of the United States does not and will not do so, then the people must take action. Let us see how wisely the Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court check each other under the Constitution. The President checks the Supreme Court through the President's power of pardon and his power to appoint judges of the Supreme Court and other federal courts. The President also checks the Congress through the President's power to veto any act passed by Congress. And to become a law, over his veto, it requires a two-thirds majority vote. The Supreme Court checks both the President and the Congress by passing upon the constitutionality of their acts, keeping them within the bounds of the Constitution. But the legislative, the Congress, is the big boss of all three branches. That's as it should be, because Congress is made up of direct representatives of the people, state by state and district by district. Congress can stop both the President and Supreme Court cold by refusing to appropriate a dime for any of their schemes it doesn't like. The House also has the power to impeach, and the Senate the power to try the impeachment of any public officer. And the Senate also has the duty to confirm any appointments the President makes and all treaties that he signs. Now about the subject of treaties. Here is one great power of the Congress that is overlooked by nearly every citizen. We read you under Judicial Powers of the Supreme Court, Section 2, Article 2, as follows. In all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers, and those in which a state shall be a party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. No lesser courts, direct to the Supreme Court. But in all other cases before mentioned, namely the laws of the United States and treaties made or which shall be made under their authority, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. There is the end of your so-called Treaty of the Communist United Nations. Congress alone could throw it out the window tomorrow morning, removing all appellate power of the Supreme Court to act in the matter. And if the President vetoes the act, Congress can pass it by a simple two-thirds majority. If Congress doesn't do it, the American people must either forcibly remove those traitors from Congress or exact the traditional punishment of treason. Slick anti-Christian lawyer schemed up the idea of making the United Nations a treaty. The idea that any treaty can be so worded as to supersede the Constitution which allows that treaty to be made is ridiculous. Any treaty that changes, violates, or challenges the Constitution is no longer a treaty. It is a proposed amendment, and only the people can pass upon that and have it ratified. The Constitution of the United States is inviolate. Article 6, Section 2 says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof," meaning in accordance with, "and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land." The United States has no authority, no legal standing whatsoever in any treaty that violates the Constitution. Every authority granted to the United States comes from the Constitution and from the states which granted that authority. Can any sane person dare to argue the point that the Constitution has any right to outlaw itself or to be outlawed by traitors in control of the government? The people alone have the right to amend or outlaw the Constitution. The government does not have that right. This treaty of treason, the United Nations Charter, was written by Russian Jew communist agents who had three things in mind: to overthrow the Constitution, to overthrow Christianity, and to mongrelize and destroy the Christian white race, the greatest race in world history. It was schemed up and is today paid for by the most dangerous nest of vipers the world has ever seen, that world banker and industrial monopolistic den of thieves called the Council on Foreign Relations at 68th and Park Avenue in New York. This includes its upper riffraff with the fancy name of the Business Council, and the international den of serpents, which travels under assumed names called the Bilderberger Group. plus the Pilgrim Society and the Round Table Group. These Bilderbergers are headed by that electric power magnet, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. And the latest recruit to betray his own wife and country is Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain. This Council on Foreign Relations banker gang must be liquidated to the last man, jailed as traitors giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the United States, from the top echelon down to the dumb committees in 33 American cities who are the small fry. These billionaire bankers, mostly foreigners, set up the greatest hoax that has ever fooled the world. A phony, imaginary, and absurd scare threat called communism, hidden behind an iron curtain in Russia. The only communism there ever was and is originated in Wall Street banking houses and is now housed at the Council on Foreign Relations headquarters, 68th Street and Park Avenue in New York City. How well Abraham Lincoln described this whole thing and put it into words, quote, "Our safety, our liberty depends upon preserving the Constitution of the United States as our forefathers made it, inviolate. The people of these United States are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution," unquote, from Abraham Lincoln. I declare to you that the greatest living traitor in the United States today is that arch scoundrel Harry Solomon Truman, who signed both the UN Charter and the even more infamous International Court of Justice, proclaiming a world court to supersede the Supreme Court of the United States. Like those who followed him, Eisenhower, the out-and-out communist-trained John Kennedy, and the present president Lyndon Johnson, like all traitors, they have every one of them been paid off with millions of dollars. And so have the members of Congress. No wonder they refuse to make public their financial holdings. God, how low is a man who can accept money for the betrayal of his country. Eisenhower got $1 million for his book and articles in Life magazine, tax-free. And as General Patton said, for winning a war on a golf course. Harry Truman was given $50,000 a year, added expenses, tax-free. Why, if they were expenses, they wouldn't have to be tax-free. It was a bonus salary, and the Constitution says that the President shall receive a stipulated sum that cannot be increased nor diminished during his term of office. As an American, I'm not afraid for 1 minute of the communist Kosygin or the Russian people, nor of a bearded bum named Castro and the Cuban people. Nor am I afraid for 1 second of Mao in Red China nor Tito of Yugoslavia. But I'm very much afraid of the idiots and traitors in Congress and in the White House and on the Supreme Court. Who but a traitor president could put over a unilateral disarmament plan to give the control of our arms into the hands of international Jew communists of the United Nations? Who but congressional crooks could mortgage and give away our land and our substance to the enemies of Christ and our country under the guise of foreign aid? Who but a communist Supreme Court could perfidiously betray the American people by rewriting our Constitution to accommodate Jewish world revolutionaries of the United Nations without the authority or permission of the American people? Our only enemy, our banker communist enemy operating through Washington, is located at 68th and Park Avenue in New York, headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations, and nowhere else. Let us figuratively blast this enemy off the face of the earth. If ever there is pursuit of happiness, it is prosperity and commerce. Read it in Magna Carta. And now let us read the Constitution under the powers of Congress, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 3. Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states. That commerce clause specifically says among the states. It does not say within the states. Thus, under vile Democrats and Republicans, we have a communist Congress now exercising police powers which deal with health, safety, morals, education, housing of the people, social welfare, Medicare, and relief rolls. Through federal handouts of money that the federal government stole from you in the first place, you don't get back 35 cents on the dollar after the federal crooks and your own state government crooks have whacked it up. Is Congress alone to blame? Oh, no. For every state that is accepting federal handouts for any purpose, we tell you that state has a crooked, inefficient governor and a crooked state legislature ready to grab the handout of your stolen tax money. Every evil in this formerly blessed land has as its root the seizure and control and printing of your money. Your money is no good right now, and it won't be long before the total collapse. It is the common people who are going to suffer in this coming catastrophe, from hard-working plumbers, carpenters, truck drivers, and factory mechanics, to white-collar office people, farmers, and housewives. But that is as it should be, for these are the people who have the guts and the strength to enact a terrible vengeance on the political crooks who are handing out your money to the Jews of the world to corral world trade and throw Americans out of work with foreign imports. These hard-working Americans are going to demand death or deportation for these bankers and industrial heads who are giving away your money to the riffraff of this nation in exchange for votes and power. Doesn't anybody but an idiot know that the welfare state can only lead to a slave state? Fortunately, we know the guilty. We have the names, addresses, and telephone numbers of every one of them. For centuries, the white Christian has had one single punishment for treason, and it has never changed throughout the ages. Only the hang noose is the measure of a traitor's infamy. Because of perversion of the Constitution, we have the most corrupt government on earth. We have fought innumerable wars for banker greed to literally steal oil, fruit, sugar, coffee, and a dozen other commodities. We have lied to and cheated every friendly government on earth because we have forgotten Christianity and the Constitution. Only an army of authentic Christians can save this country, an invincible army of men, women, and children enrolled under the banner of soldiers of Christ. We shall not use violence. We shall use Christianity, the most powerful weapon in the world, to save Christianity. Now turn this recording over, ladies and gentlemen, and learn what that Christian army can and will do to save America, and be prepared to spend some of your money. Thank you.